If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to have you back in the studio, Sheikh.
Thank you.
You always come and shed light on some of the complicated questions that I ask you normally related to Islamic laws. And we have been discussing some of these Islamic laws of miscellaneous nature for a while now. And let me continue along the same line, if you don't mind. In order to consecrate a piece of land as a mosque, normally we've heard that there is a kind of a special formula that needs to be pronounced, right?
Right.
Isn't that right?
Well, according to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, a specific verbal declaration, we call it sigha,
mm-hmm.
is not required to be recited in order to consecrate land as a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
It's an act of giving, one-sided act.
Yes.
So, actually, consecration can be accomplished through let's say mu'atat or actional consecration.
Yes.
Like, for example, if a person says that this piece of land should be used as a place for building a mosque,
mm.
then that place becomes a mosque.
Mm.
Okay, and there's no need for reciting any kind of formula. So it's a one-sided thing, you see.
Right.
A canonic prayer is performed on that land. For example, if you establish a jama'at prayer on that piece of land after it is given and specified and
yes.
for to be a piece of land for to be used for building a mosque, then a prayer is performed on that piece. So either before or after construction, this is the opinion of
yes.
His Eminence. Then, with that intention, it has become a mosque. You know, you offer a prayer, jamaat prayer, or a single or individual prayer on
mm-hmm.
that. Considering it as a place for mosque, then whether there is any building structure built there or not, it's not important. That place is consecrated as a place as a mosque, and it's not necessary to recite any formula.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Right.
And does this same rule apply to Husainiyas?
Husainiyas, Husainiyas does not have the same ruling as
the
mosque. Of course, Husainiyas is a place where you engage in kind of du'as, applications, mourning for Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, and his.
But they also offer the prayer there
yeah.
too.
Of course, you can offer your prayers anywhere.
Mm.
Yes. But then there's an issue which is called waqf, you see, endowment.
Mm, yes.
Okay. It may be endowment, a piece of land endowed by the owner. If it is endowed by the owner, then mm-hmm. of course that piece of land or building or structure, whatever, must be used for the same purpose for which it was endowed.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay tuned.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, we know that when an individual, in fact, has a wet dream, they have to offer ghusl janabah, right?
Yes.
What happens? What if this, in fact, wet dream happens to them while they are, for example, staying or sleeping in a mosque?
Right. Well, such thing might happen. You know.
So, what is their duty?
Yeah. If a person experiences a wet dream and, like, say, he has a nightfall, right?
Yes.
While in a mosque, it is obligatory to leave the mosque immediately upon waking up, when he wakes up and realizes that he has had a nightfall. Then it's necessary to leave the mosque, because it's not permissible to stay in that mosque or to pause there, halt there. So this is because remaining in a mosque while in a state of janabah is prohibited according to Islamic Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the opinion of all scholars. Entering a mosque and staying in a mosque while in the state of janabah is not permissible. So after one leaves and then performs ghusl janabah, he can re-enter the mosque.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has made any part of the mosque najis, impure, it is necessary for that individual or anyone who comes to know that the mosque has been made najis or impure to purify the mosque. It's at random, an immediate duty that every individual who comes to know that the mosque is impure, made impure by one thing or for one reason or another, then it is necessary and it's a collective duty to purify the mosque. And if one person undertakes to purify the mosque, then other people are relieved of that duty.
If such a case happens,
right?
Does this duty bound, in fact, have to purify himself from the mosque, I mean, like after waking up and the realization, or he has to purify that part of the, for example, the carpet or that part of the mosque that has been, affected?
Yes.
All right, by the nightfall.
Yes.
So which one goes first?
He must immediately perform ghusl, because staying in that mosque is not permissible, because he is in the state of janabah.
But
And then after he leaves the mosque, performs ghusl janabah and comes back to that mosque, enters that mosque and finds that the najasa is still there and that no one has washed that place, because maybe many people
didn't know that. Yes.
They didn't know. So it is wajib, it is obligatory on that individual to wash that part of the najis part of that mosque, and make sure that no najasa is there, because people will offer prayers in that place.
Exactly, that's my point. So shouldn't that najis part, in fact, be removed first? Because if the same thing happens, or the scenario happens here, and if he leaves the mosque for his own purification, doing or offering the ghusl janabah, then that najis part might be spread to the other parts of the mosque, basically, because the other mosque goers basically find themselves, for example, affected by it while they don't know whether this part was najis. So, they do it unintentionally, of course.
Right. So the solution is that he should inform someone else. He should inform people and the mosque that this part of the carpet is najis. No one should approach it or stand on it and pray on it. So if there's no one else no one else willing to purify that part of the, he must come back and purify it. Otherwise, it's the duty.
Or he can mark
Muslim.
It by something,
yes.
Like by covering it, for example,
covering
with
it,
a piece of cloth
down. Yes, something. And other people should also do the same job if they find the masjid impure. Maybe anyone else might have done it, may have made it impure. But those people who come to know that the masjid is impure, they should make it clean.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the Islamic laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, somebody asked, a father offers a gift of money to his minor child, depositing it on the child's behalf in a bank account. Is the interest, this is the question, is the interest that accrues to this deposited amount subject to khums? If so, is the father responsible for paying the khums that is due, or the child?
Well, this is a matter of controversy. I should say that the scholars are divided when it comes to who should pay khums and when the khums should be paid, right? According to the opinion of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, the khums obligation falls upon the child and not the father, because it's the child's property and not that of the father. If the deposited money generates interest, then as a matter of mandatory precaution, khums should be paid on the interest if it remains in the child's possession until he reaches puberty. And we know that a child, as a child, when he has not attained puberty, is not supposed to pay khums. Even if he has a lot of asset or wealth or whatever in his possession. Because a child who has not attained puberty is not under the obligation to do anything, like prayer, fasting, and also khums and zakat, it's not necessary. And I should say that, okay, the scholars are divided in this matter. For example, some other scholars say, no, it is necessary to pay khums on behalf of the child. Even if the child is a minor child, he has not attained puberty, it is the duty of the father to purify his property by giving one-fifth of that property as khums. Okay, but this is not the opinion of His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei and many other scholars.
Because this is a gift?
When it comes to gift, also the scholars are divided.
Yes.
Ayatollah Sistani says that khums is not payable on khums should be paid on gift if it's not used within the first year.
Yeah.
But Ayatollah Khamenei says that no, khums is not paid on gift, on gifted items, whatever they are. But if the gifted item, like gifted money, gifted amount of money, generates interest, then that interest is not gift. Mm. It is something generated by, as a result of keeping it or in that deposited account.
Or using it as an asset.
Yes. And so khums should be paid on it if it remains in the child's possession until the age of puberty.
Right.
And when that child becomes baligh, attains puberty, then and then only, of course, it will be necessary on the child to pay khums on that interest.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, and really I appreciate it, you shedding light on these questions of Islamic laws on IRIB English Radio, where we invite you to come and you kindly accept our offers and invitation and shed light on these issues. Thank you, my dear audience, for listening to your own program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, and the rest of the group, Bibi Jafar Wal, and we ask for your du'as for us, and remember us in your du'as. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم مجاد
تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا